Good morning. It's good to see you all out this morning. May God bless you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all as we meditate in His Word, as we give ourselves to prayer, as we actively participate in worshiping His name through song. You know, the Bible is an amazing book. A lot of books, like novels and documentaries, whatever, you read them once and you know everything that's written. And with the Bible, you read it and you read it, and there's always new truths coming out. It's the inspired Word of God, and it is good for encouragement, it is good for admonition, it is good for correction. And we all like to come to church when, you know, the pastor, he speaks of how God loves us and God meets us where we are, and that's all good. And so, if God loves me as I am, then why do I need to change? Why are you telling me I have to change, right? And yes, absolutely, that's a true message. God loves you. God meets you where you are. He does. And then God starts a transformation process. And we become what God envisions us to be. I sometimes liken it with, if you're stuck in a ditch, and I come there with a truck, and I throw you a tow rope, and you hook up, you're still stuck. Unless I actively apply energy and draw you out, you're still stuck, even though you are tied to my pickup truck. You don't get unstuck unless you're willing to move. We do not get to heaven unless we're willing to change. And so this morning, there's one verse that we're going to focus on a little bit. It's out of Mark chapter 13, verse 37. And these are the words of Jesus. And he says, "What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." And so this morning, I would like to just focus in on that. What are we watching for? Why would Jesus have spoken these words to his people? And he didn't just say them to some. He said, "I say this to you all. This is for you." And so this morning, we want to look a little bit deeper into what is your responsibility as an ambassador for Christ. But before we go to all that, let's pause for a word of prayer. Our Lord God, we want to thank you for this day. We thank you for being a God, and as a sovereign God of the universe, all power is yours. But you have chosen to make man a little lower than the angels. And then you crowned man with glory and with honor, and you gave us the right to bear your name. We are identified as your children. And in that, the angels are ministering spirits that meet our needs and fulfill our needs. And we just thank you that you have bestowed upon us that honor and that right to bear your name. We just pray this morning as we look to Scripture that we would realize that with that also comes the responsibility of being an ambassador to you. And what does that mean? To be an ambassador of you in a world that at times denies that they know you, even though they do know that you are there. We pray for your Spirit to just lead and to guide and to enlighten our understanding this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Begin with some songs, please.
Let us take the red book and turn to 347. Precious promise God hath given. Number 347.
trust in Jesus. 264.
62.
Come thou fount of every blessing. 262.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Strings of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious something, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
So if you have your Bibles open to Mark chapter 13, I'm going to read verses 32 to 37. And Jesus is speaking to the people here, and he says, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed and watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." So Jesus is speaking here about the rapture. Now, we know that when Jesus Christ came to this earth the first time as a babe born of Mary, when that event happened, angels came down and they sang before the shepherds and they said, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men, you know, joy to the world." This was such a blessing. The whole world was going to be drawn into this joy. But when Christ comes for his church, he will not set earth on this. He will not set foot on this earth. He will come down. We will see him. And the dead in Christ shall rise, and in which we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air. It will be joy unspeakable for those that anticipate, those that are ready. But for those that are not ready, it's absolute terror to know you had this opportunity and you missed it. You're left behind to face the wrath of God. Because the church will not see the wrath of God. Like as Lot and his wife and his daughters were taken out of Sodom and Gomorrah before the fire and brimstone fell on those cities, so the church will be removed before the wrath of God and all the vials are poured out upon the people that refuse to acknowledge the sovereignty and the holiness of God. But of that day and of that hour, you don't know when. The angels don't know when. The Son of God who spoke this did not know when. He says, when the time is right, the Father will tell the Son, your house is ready for your bride. It's time you go get her. And then he will come and he will get his bride. Jesus Christ himself did not know when. And so there's no way you and I can know. It has not been given us. But notice how he says, the Son of Man is as a man taking a journey. He came to this earth, and for the space of about 3 years, he was caught up in public ministry. He was teaching, and he was showing through his miracles the power that was vested in him by his Father, which was God himself. And then it says in verse 34, so he's like a man who takes a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. So he's got his house. The porter is to watch. And the other servants, they have their work. There was a job for everyone. And they're supposed to work until such a time as he comes home. And once he's home, then he may change what everyone does depending on how they have done. They receive their rewards, right? Verse 35, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh. Are you going to be found doing that which you've been commanded to do? And will you be able to hear when he comes back and he comes in and the the porter, he's kind of the guy that allows you in or doesn't allow you in. He's the butler, or so to speak. And he comes and he allows the man of the house, and he opens up the door, and then there is the head of the servants. And the man of the house comes and he speaks before this servant who is his steward, and he says, what have you to say for yourself? And this man says, you know what? Your place has been taken care of. The gardener, he's got a beautiful garden. We've been fed from the fruits. The cook, the chef there, amazing how he has fed us. The housekeepers, they've been keeping it clean. I would love to tour you through your house because we're not ashamed of what you will find. And then the master of the house that has returned from his journey, he tours his house and he sits down with his servants and he says, well done. I am pleased. I am blessed by what you have done. But when is he going to come? When is the porter going to open up the door? When is the steward, the head steward, going to be able to take his Lord and give him this tour and to show him what you have done? We don't know. But what Jesus said to them, he said to all, and that would include you and I. He says, watch. Be alert. In Luke chapter 12, if you want to turn there, Luke chapter 12, I'd like to read verses 37 to 40. It says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And you know, when the master of the house comes, the servants serve the master. That's correct. But this master, when he comes, he will be so pleased. He's going to say, you know what? You've worked hard. Allow me to serve you. The honor he bestows upon his servants that have done well. And if he shall come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are these servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. So now in verse 39, it says, and if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would have broken in, he would not have allowed him to break in. He would have defended the property of his master. And sometimes, you know, we focus on one thing and we focus on another. For example, Christ said, you know, if somebody comes and smites you on one cheek, well, turn the other. If he wants your coat, give him your cloak also. You know, this whole non-resistance thing, right? That's not what he's talking about here. If the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would break in, what thief are we talking about? We're not talking about, you know, the guy from across the tracks who's poor up and needs to feed his family, so he's breaking into your house to steal food. We're not talking about that guy at all. We're talking about a different guy. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10. This is the thief we're talking about. He says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. What is he stealing? What is he killing? What is he destroying? Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And that is what the thief is coming to destroy. You know, the thief here doesn't care about your house. He doesn't care about what vehicle you drive. You know, whether it's the base model or whether you got the Escalade, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, you know, whether your bank account is negative 500 or whether it's plus 5 million. He doesn't care. What he cares is that you don't have life. And he wants to come and he wants to kill it and he wants to steal from you and destroy you. And so we need to watch. We need to be fully aware. You know, sometimes we do things that are innocent enough of themselves. But what are the consequences? What is the the effect. You've probably all heard that there's this new movie out, The Sound of Freedom. It's a true-to-life story. Depicts a man's job breaking up slavery rings. And now, yes, human slavery was abolished. You can't own a slave. But when we make something illegal, the operation goes underground, and this movie depicts human trafficking, sex slavery, and such like that. And now, of course, none of us are slave traders. We wouldn't do that. That would be bad. But you look at the statistics put out by all kinds of organizations. And the statistics coming out are such that, you know, 70 to 75% of men are actively watching porn at least once a week. 40% of women are actively watching porn once a week. But I'm not hurting anybody. But if I watch it, then I am giving the man that stole that woman or that child and forced them to act out and record it so I can watch it, I'm forcing him to do that because I'm observing it. I become a party with the slave trader. Manitoba, I heard this on the news just this last week on AM 1250. They were saying that in all of Canada, on a per capita basis, Manitoba has the highest number of missing children. Where do these children go? What are they suffering? Because some people find pleasure in watching these acts on their tablets or phones or computers or whatever. Manitoba has the highest per capita percentage of missing children in all of Canada. That was on the news Wednesday. What are we doing about it? Are we watching? And so that's the world. That's out there. And they're reporting this as fact. But within the church, we all have jobs. There's Sunday school teachers, there's youth leaders, there's pastors, there's mentors. What's happening to our children? Is our reporter watching? And is he sounding the alarm when things are not right? Or do we just allow things to happen and say, you know what? The Bible says that there's going to be an apostasy coming at the end of time, and I think we're there, so we'll just let it go. But what's happening to our children? You know, there's a hymn that we used to sing, and I think maybe it's still sung, but it says, you are on your way to heaven, but where are your children all? Oh, it's great to know that the blood of Jesus has cleansed you free. Your sins are forgiven you. But are our children missing? And where are they? Who's sounding the alarm? We want to continue in this, but before we do, I want to give you an opportunity to go on bended knee and to pray that the Spirit of God might just become as powerful as what God made him to be. So let's kneel for a time of silent prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's take our blue hymnals and turn to number 126. We're marching to Zion. 126. For those that are able, let's stand.
We're marching to Zion, beautiful.
I'd like to go to the Old Testament, Isaiah and Jeremiah, to hear the word of the Lord as he spoke it to his people. Isaiah chapter 62, verses 6 and 7. Out of Isaiah chapter 62, verses 6 and 7. I have set watchmen upon the walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. This is the word of the Lord that he spoke to his people. There's a lot of war in the Old Testament. A lot of antagonists that came and they fought. And so they built their cities for protection. And God himself told the people, he says, I have set watchmen upon your walls and they will not keep silence. They will warn you when things come. But you know, that was easy compared to the enemy that comes from within. If you see the enemy approaching over the land, you can set your defenses in array and you can guard. But when the enemy comes from within, we need watchmen to sound the alarm. He says here, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. But we have become silent. In the news, not that I watch the news all the time, but every now and then I do a little bit. Justin Trudeau, our prime minister, is pushing the whole LGBTQ ideology and education in schools K-12. Okay? One group is standing against him. One group is speaking out and saying it's not right. It's not the Protestants. It's not the Catholics. It's not the Mennonites. It's the Muslims. Why is there only one group of people standing up and saying this is wrong? Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. You are the watchmen. You are responsible for your children. Why are we not fighting for our children? We have been given a duty. We're not supposed to rest. Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 to 20. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Wherein, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in them. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear ye, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. This is God speaking to his people. This is the God that told the people, burn incense unto me, I like it. This is the God that says, you know, have your sin offering and your thankful offerings and all of that offerings. Three times a year, every male in Israel was supposed to appear before the Lord and not empty. He had to bring an offering. It was required of God. And God says, you know what? Your incense isn't sweet to me anymore. It stinks. Your sacrifices that you make, they're not acceptable anymore. Because they were not coming out of a pure heart. They were going through the motions. They were fulfilling the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law was dead. We raise the name of Jesus at our baptism, and we come for communion, and we say, thank you, Lord, for everything you've done. But then we walk outside the walls, and we're silent. Because I don't want to offend my neighbor. You know, Jesus Christ taught us to be meek. But meekness has nothing to do with weakness or docility or any of that. Meekness is strength under control. Knowing the power that is at your disposal. Jesus Christ said, if ye call, ask anything in my name, I will do it. The heavens will move at the command of God's children. Are you God's children? Don't be silent. We cannot be silent. We are watchmen. We have been put on the wall to warn the people. And if we don't, they will die. And who's responsible for their blood? It's the silent watchman. Let's turn to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. I'd like to read the first four verses there. Matthew 16, verses 1 to 4. The Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempting, desiring him that he should show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Jesus is approached by the watchmen, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were the religious leaders. It was their duty to lead the people after God's ways. And they desired a sign that would prove that Jesus was who he said he was. They had seen all his miracles. You know, the blind are seeing and the deaf are hearing and the dumb are talking and the lame were walking and the dead were raised to life again. And, you know, he's preaching. There's 5,000 men plus the women and the children that are there. So, you know, could be a crowd of 25,000, 30,000 people. And then Jesus says, oh, you know what? Our three-day conference is now over and they're going to go home, but they're weak, they're hungry. Let's feed them. And the apostles say, well, you know that, Jesus, we don't have the resources. And Jesus says, well, what resources do we have? And they said, well, there's a boy here. He brought a lunch. He's got, you know, two fish and five loaves. And Jesus says, well, okay, let's work with what we have. Have the people sit down. And at the end, 12 baskets of fish and bread left over. And you think your resources are inadequate? Really? What can God do? How little is your God? You know, the Bible says we're not supposed to worship idols. And an idol would be like a graven image, or, you know, I cut off a tree and I form an eagle out of it and I put it on here and that, you know, I I worship that and I honor that. That would be worshiping an idol, right? But if I know that my resources are not enough and God is not big enough to use what I have for His glory, then am I not greater than God? Then am I not an idol unto myself? Because I'm wiser than God that created me and equipped me to do what He wanted me to do? I become an idol unto myself. That's kind of where the Pharisees and the Sadducees were at. And now they're coming to Jesus and they're saying, oh yeah, we're seeing what you're doing, but we need a sign from heaven. It's got to come from the top. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you the sign of Jonas. That's it. And he walked away. What's the sign of Jonas? Oh, you know the story of Jonah. You know, God called him to go to Nineveh to preach destruction. And Jonah said, Nineveh is that way. I'm going to climb in a boat. I'm going to go that way. I'm not going to Nineveh. I don't like those people. Those are Syrians. Those were the arch enemy of Israel, a tough, warring tribe. And when the Syrians came, you feared because they were murdering people. They'd have your head. No, I don't want to go tell them the good news that God loves them. I want God to destroy them. And so Jonah left. A prophet that kept silence. These guys are desiring a sign. And Jesus gave them a sign. He says, when all your prophets are quiet, look out. Destruction is at hand. We're supposed to watch. We're supposed to speak. We're supposed to alert. Matthew 24 verses 36 to 39 says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. This was Jesus speaking to the people. And he says, when everybody's going good, every life is good, you know, everybody's just enjoying and partying and serving self, and there's no watchman, no one's telling them, that's when Noah entered into the ark and the rains fell, and destruction was upon the earth. What are we doing about it? In our knowledge of Scripture, in our knowledge of God and the miracles that He has worked, in our understanding that, you know, Jesus Christ took unlearned and ignorant fishermen from Galilee who were in the whole social structure of the land of Israel, they were, you know, the scum. And God took them and made prophets out of them. Peter and John going to the temple to pray, and there's a man begging for money. Peter says, you know, dude, I don't have any silver or gold. I can't give that to you. But you know what? I'll give you your health in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And he took his hand and he picked them up. And the man's legs received strength. This is that same Peter that after Jesus' crucifixion, you know, the master is gone. He lost his fire, and he says to the other guys, he says, you know what, I'm going to go fishing because I'm comfortable in my boat. I know what I'm doing there. I have no idea what I'm doing here. Jesus isn't here to tell me. And they went fishing. And he drew others with him. It wasn't just Peter that went fishing, left the post to go fishing. He drew others with him. How often do you have a message? And you know you have a message to give, but you don't give it because somebody else says, you know what? I'm going fishing. I'm going to remove myself from the people that I'm supposed to be speaking to, and I'm just going to go fishing, and I'm just going to be all by myself. And you get drawn in with that, and your message is never heard. Who needed to hear that message? I never heard it. And then they go into depression, and they go into suicide because they never heard your message. You are watchmen. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 to 10, you have the story of these 10 virgins. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all these virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. So when we hear the gospel of salvation, when we are convicted of our sins and we realize that within us there is no good thing, and then we realize that the God of heaven realized our depravity and sent his son to pay the price that I couldn't pay so that I could be salvaged, I could be reclaimed from the scrapyard, and I could be refashioned into something that was glorious and useful to the master. And we go for baptism, and then we go for communion, and we become one with our Lord in communion. And we say, okay, I have arrived. Have we arrived? Did we fill our vessels? Or did we just light the lamp and say, you know what? I have arrived. Jesus said he's coming soon. So that's got to be now within the next 3 years. And for that, I have enough. But what if it's 5 years and my lamp runs out? And then I'm asleep. And then when he comes, I quickly have to prepare. I quickly have to sweep my porch. I have to clean my house. And while I'm busy doing that, the event happens and I missed it. And to those that are asleep, who's telling them? Who's the watchman that was given this word to be given? Jesus said, what I say to you, I say to all. Watch. You're included. You are included in that. Fill your vessel to overflowing. If you read the words of Solomon, he writes about a fountain sealed. and a fountain sealed is good for the one who sealed it, because he can open it up and he can take for himself that refreshing water. But when you uncap that artesian well, the water flows out and it becomes a stream. And others are blessed. And they receive that nourishing water which revives the soul and gives strength to the weak body. And you say, I didn't give them water. No, you didn't. But you allowed yourself to be so filled that it flowed out and others were blessed by it. That's the work of the Holy Spirit within you. You have no idea the reaches that God can do through you. When you throw a pebble into the water, one pebble, and you count the amount of ripples and how long those ripples go, that's the watchman on the tower. And he speaks a word, and somebody hears it, and they repeat that word. And they repeat that word, and they repeat that word. It's the ripple effect. Make sure your message is from God. And then don't be silent. The time is at hand. Jesus said in chapter 24, verse 15, chapter 24, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Jesus is speaking about the time when Daniel was in his vision and he saw the desolation of the temple. The time when the worshipers were not allowed to worship. They were told, don't come here. And so what do? We stay home and we hide, right? Not, Jesus said, when you see that, stand in that holy place. Be the watchman. Speak the message. The lives of our children depend on it. Let's pray. Our Lord God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that Jesus did come and he did speak. And the Holy Spirit brought to remembrance in the minds of those that wrote the words which he had spoken for our edification, for our admonition, for our correction, for our strength. We just pray, Lord, that you would give us a message. And then we pray that you would give us the boldness to speak that message. So that in that day when you do come back, whether it be morning, afternoon, night, that we would be found watching. That we would be able to be those that are invited to sit down and to enjoy the banquet while you serve. We just pray that your Spirit would move within this congregation and within this community, and that we could gain back ground that the devil has taken, that we would fight the good fight of faith until such a time as we are called to the next level of living, which will be with you. We just pray this all in Jesus' most holy name with thanksgiving. Amen. I would again invite you to kneel for a word of prayer. I do have a prayer request for you to be mindful of. And not just here in this hour, but throughout this next week, month. It says, please pray for Hendrik and Margaret Peters. Hendrik is coping with a lot of back pain, and Margaret is asking for prayer support as she copes with depression. So let's remember Hendrik and Margaret Peters in your prayers. And let's just all stand together in that. So with that, let's kneel for a time of silent prayer. May the Lord God hear our prayers and be merciful to us. Amen.
Take the blue hymn book, turn to page 141. There is a fountain. 141.
Yeah.
Good morning. You all have an insert in the bulletin this morning about Southman Gleaners. This is a good thing to support. Taking food that has imperfections or size issues and making this product available to feed the needy. I've seen the shop come up in Rheinfeld there. They've been making some renovations there. I saw the sign not long ago. I didn't know exactly what it was for, but reading this in the bulletin this morning, it's really good, and it looks like they're needing more support financially and possibly even some volunteers. So that's just for your information to read. And also, the Defriesen Low German Music Ministry, also a good thing to support, that they're spreading the gospel in Low German, which is very much needed. And it's just for you to read as well. And if you're led to support them, by all means, support them. And an update on Catherine Friesen, the late George Friesen, his wife Catherine. She's no longer in the hospital. She is at home now. And she's doing better. She's just taking it day by day. And she wouldn't mind visitors, but if you're planning on visiting her, just give her a call before you come. And that's also all these that are in the back of the bulletin, all those that are in the prayer list there, like Aben Helen, Helen Wallen family, and Mary Weeb, and all those with health issues. There was a special prayer request just before from Hendrik Peters. Let's just lift them all up in prayer. The power of a prayer is amazing, and God answers prayer. So, thank you.
Thank you. So, at the close of this service, I just want to thank you all very much for coming, for making yourself available, and may God richly bless you as you step out in faith and as you speak his message. This is not something you have to come up with yourself. If you read John chapter 14, Jesus says that he's going to send his Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance the things that he has heard from his Father, from God himself. And so you're speaking God's word. You're just available to do so. And may God bless you as you step out and do exactly that. I'd like to leave you now with the benediction that we find in Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so you are dismissed.